now.
Free Talk Live, you can bring up what you want. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line as we launch here in hour three of the show. It's Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. So let's go change gears here this hour, Mark, and talk about the TSA. You got a story for us?
They're such easy targets, those TSA agents. I mean,
oh, they're one of the most tyrannical, obviously police state-ish bureaucracies out there, and they're in everybody's face.
Yeah, it's amazing how everybody just deals with it, too. They don't talk.
What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. They're so awful, and they've got it sort of set up since everybody's in a line there in a queue, as they say, across the pond. If you make a fuss over something, then you're holding everyone else up. So then you look like the bad guy,
right.
Even though it's these jerks that have this little roadblock that, by their own testing, they miss something in the neighborhood of half of guns, knives, and bombs that they test themselves on. They're that bad. I just went through them, and they were testing the baby formula that I was bringing through for Jack, but I got through a lighter, which is outlawed, not against the rules. It's outlawed they missed it. So I grabbed it, put it in my pocket. Why would I want to throw away the lighter?
Sure.
I'm not going to blow up a plane with it. I don't know if you could. But anyway, here's this is from Civil Liberties Examiner. I got it through Freedom's Phoenix. If there's a special place in hell for officious government employees, I'm sure there's a spot all warmed up for the Transportation Security Administration officer at the Baltimore-Washington International Airport who scared my kid out of his wits.
Oh, dear.
Last week, I solicited stories from readers about the unpleasant experiences post 9/11 travel security. Excuse me, with post 9/11 travel security. Little did I know. I'd like to make a point on this before I go any farther. Since 9/11... traveling, international travel, down by 20%. Domestic travel, down by a little less than that. Travel's down. It's not because people are scared of flying on planes. It's because people don't want to deal with the TSA. I make those decisions in my life. I just don't want to go through with that.
And the international travelers certainly don't want to deal with customs, which is even worse.
And, customs has gotten awful. Just silly on the things that they're excluding people, bringing in and arresting people. And they treat people from other countries horribly. I mean, some businesses rely on international travel. We need that. It's crazy that people deal with it.
Baltimore?
Yep. Little did I know that I'd be my own best correspondent. My family's flight back east, we witnessed random shakedowns of the gate after we'd already passed through security, but that didn't begin to compare to the...
Oh, that's new. I've never seen that happen.
Well, they do the SSS secret service. That's sort of randomish.
They said at the gate. Shakedowns at the gate. So you can't get to the gate until you've gone through security.
Depends on the airport. Some
really?
Of them, Kansas City is one of the airports where the security is at the gate.
Oh.
Rather than entering into the main airport.
So is there security at each gate for each airline?
At that particular airport, yes.
That's unusual. Okay. I've never seen that before.
That didn't begin to compare with the brief but telling experience that we had at BWI. It's the Baltimore airport. On the return leg of our journey. My wife and I checked in without incident. We then headed to the security checkpoint with our 3.5-year-old son in tow. The very first TSA officer we encountered glanced at our ID and our boarding passes and then proceeded to interrogate my kid. What's your name, son? Can you tell me your name? He shuffled through our boarding passes and then started again. What's your name? Can you tell me? He barely acknowledged...
3.5.
Yeah. We barely acknowledged the adults, saying only, "This will only take a minute."
Wow.
I've got a conversation to have here with your son, and you just stand by if you would. Because he owns the kid, not you.
Well, he owns the access to the airport, apparently. You don't want to let him talk to your kid, you're not getting on the plane.
I seethed. But we were 3,000 miles from home, at airport security in a strange city.
Dangerous city, by the way. The murder, like the murder capital of America, from what I understand.
I don't know.
Baltimore?
Yeah, it's pretty rough. We all needed to get back to Arizona, and getting booted from the airport, or worse, arrested, wouldn't accomplish that goal. Tell the nice man your name, Tony, I suggested.
Tell me your name. Tell me your name, said the uniformed officer insisted. Through all of this, Tony remained tongue-tied with the look of glowing confusion mixed with terror on his face. This could be tough for a kid, you know?
Yeah.
That's no surprise. Like most parents, we warn our son against chatting with strange adults. And like most young children, Tony isn't inclined to react favorably to sharp questions from random people. Tony's silence may even have been a blessing. On any given day, under good circumstances, he was as likely to tell you that he's a monster or a sharp tooth or Christopher Robin as he is to volunteer the name his mother and I gave him. I mean, he's 3 1/2 for crying out loud.
This is crazy.
About which I gently reminded the officer, and he muttered, he's just three, you know, he's just three, you know, or may not have helped. I bet you know your name, the TSA agent said finally. I bet it's Anthony. Do they call you Tony? Tony tearfully surrendered in a slight nod, allowing the agent of the security state to claim victory over the forces of evil, and we were on our way.
Why don't you take away his teddy bear while you're at it?
Of course, at this point, the kid would have nodded if you'd asked him if he was Mickey Mouse, which makes the whole routine garbage. What's the point? To see if we were terrorists using a kidnapped kid as a beard? We could have been terrorists using our own kid, or we could have been smuggling the kid from a clone farm to be broken and up for parts by a Colombian criminal kingpin. Young children don't carry photo ID, and we don't implant chips in them like we do with our dogs. Oh, I hope I'm not giving anybody any ideas here.
So yeah, give them time.
Really no way around taking an adult's world for a child's... Excuse me.
Adult's word?
An adult's word for a child's identity. It's true. I was thinking about this. There's the law for Jack has to ride in a child.
This is your
right?
son.
This is my son, Jack. He's 9 months old and just started crawling. It's awesome. And he has to ride in a car seat and has to be facing backwards. It's the law. Now, on his first birthday, we can flip the car seat around. How do they know how old Jack is? I mean,
well, you'll have to carry around his birth certificate, apparently.
No, you don't. I mean, there's no law that says I have to carry around his birth certificate. So you get sent some 20-something shaved head, headed, bespeckled state trooper pulls up next to my car, says, oh, that child seat's facing forward. How old is that child? He's 1 year and 1 day, officer.
I mean, how are they going to know?
Right. Yeah. How is he going to know? Children grow differently. They're different sizes. There's a huge variation amongst kids at this age. He has no idea. I mean, you could tell a newborn, but... A 1 year old, I mean, you know, a 9 month old from a 15 month old, you're going to have a heck of a time.
Now, what percentage?
Especially if you don't know.
What percentage of the population, though, is going to know to lie to the police like that?
I don't know. They would have to know what's legal as far as.
Most of them are so scared just getting pulled over to begin with. They're not even going to think to say something like
that. I understand,
but
I'm just saying it's a pointless law.
It is.
If I want to take my 9 month old and turn his seat around, I can do that because. I have the, you know, I live in a world of physics. I can turn the seat around. And what is any cop going to do about it? What's the point of this law? They could make a recommendation, and I'd be more likely to follow the recommendation than I would their little law. I'll probably turn it around on the day before his first birthday just to do it.
And what was the point of the TSA guy questioning the 3 1/2-year-old? I mean, where was he going with that? You've got three people, a husband, a wife, and their kid, going on the airplane. They've got three tickets. Two of them obviously have to have, I think there is a rule now that says you have to have identification, if I'm not mistaken, to get on the planes now.
But don't have to have identification to get on a plane.
You don't?
But people do it.
Still, I thought they changed the
Come
rules.
Come on, what are they going to do? Not let you go home? It's another stupid rule that they can't enforce, Ian.
I think
they're going to leave these people in Baltimore because they lost their ID? How ludicrous.
I think what they have to do now is at least confirm their identity. So if you don't have your ID, you need to give your name, date of birth, maybe a social security number so that they can look you up in their systems and see if you've got any warrants and need to be taken off.
So there'll be a process then. If you don't have the ID, then it'll be more than the super secret search. They'll probably take you aside and attempt to verify who you are.
Right. But my understanding is with my approach, if I went in and refused to show ID, that I would not fly, provided I didn't want to answer those additional questions when they call the police.
This conversation proved nothing except that really young kids choke under pressure. Was the TSA goon really going to deny us passage or even haul us off to jail if my kid insisted he was a character from Winnie the Pooh?
Who knows? But I mean, you want to talk about an even more traumatic experience if your parents were arrested at the airport and then you're carted off to some foster home. All in a city you don't even live in. 800-259-9231. You can take control of the airwaves, bring up what you want. How do we deal with this TSA? It's Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state, not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
Are you tired of the high cost of home energy bills? Millennium Technologies has an answer that every listener to this station needs to hear. An Australian inventor has developed a generator that is powered by the energy of magnets. And through this technology, the ability to power a typical home with this generator has arrived. This high-tech generator harnesses the power of permanent magnets and requires no fossil fuel to produce electrical power. Visit agreeneralternative.com to learn how you can qualify to have a similar, larger, more advanced unit installed in your home by Millennium Technologies with no cost to you ever. As a promotional offer, a limited number of units will be available at no cost to kick off our program. To learn more and see a 5-minute independent TV news story on this revolutionary new device, please visit us online at agreeneralternative.com. That's agreeneralternative.com. Or call 815-648-4400. That's 815-648-4400.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Now that the election is over and the shock is beginning to wear off, Ready Reserve Foods, in an effort to get as many Americans prepared for the promised changes of the new administration and to help you and your family survive the global economic crash, Ready Reserve is offering the pre-inauguration special. Between now and January 20th, 2009, all food units U1 through U7 are being offered at wholesale prices. That's a 33% savings. A year's supply of meals starts as low as 73 cents per meal. Ready Reserve Food offers only the highest quality dehydrated food, packed in double enameled cans in an inert nitrogen atmosphere, allowing a 15-plus year shelf life. Ready Reserve has been manufacturing since 1972, giving them the freedom to offer you amazing savings. Great tasting Ready Reserve Foods at wholesale prices. Order now at ReadyReserveFoods.com or call today 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything. Just dial the toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
Join us on our website at freetalklive.com. The features, they're free, so enjoy those on us. And it appears our website finally back online. So big thanks to our the crew in our IT department for getting the job done. Even while we were on the air, managed to salvage the server. And hopefully it'll stay online for the rest of the night. Head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the archives, because if you've missed a moment of the show, we've got them right there on the front page of the site for your downloading convenience, going back for an entire year free at freetalklive.com.
The main sponsor of the show is SACL CAI. They do collections, early out billing, they purchase charged off receivables, they handle anything as far as accounts receivable is with your business. It takes out of your hands something you didn't want to do in the first place when you got in business. Who got into business to collect bills from people that are late paying?
Not me.
SACL takes care of all that for you. You can see their banner at freetalklive.com, and you'll be supporting a business that supports Free Talk Live.
You can bring up anything. We go to the phone calls. Gene is on the line in Tennessee. You're on Free Talk Live on the Amplify. Yes.
Well, hi, guys. Hey. I wanted to take on the radiometric dating tonight, but first, how about a quick prediction of 2009?
Okay, go for it.
I predict in 2009 you're going to see something happen to the Jefferson Memorial. It'll either have a dirty bomb attack or something, or it'll be structurally unsound. They'll have to close it for construction.
That's a really specific prediction. Why would you go out on a limb like that?
Because when I was in D.C. this year, I looked at that monument in awe, because all of the words that Jefferson wrote and were inscribed in marble there, you know, they just cannot possibly do anything with it. And all of those words just damn those people that want to control us, everyone.
Oh, but Gene, people read those every day and they don't even think about what they mean.
Well,
they don't really comprehend them.
But it's dangerous to let the sheeple see stuff like that. So,
all right, somebody make a note. Gene has predicted they will attack the Jefferson Memorial or somehow. Are they going to destroy it?
Maybe they'll just condemn it, say it's got a flaw in it. They'll do something to shut it down.
Well, we know you're not allowed to dance at the Jefferson Memorial. The people over at Bureaucrash figured that out earlier this year when a girl was actually arrested for participating in a dance, essentially a dance-in. I don't know what they call it. Like, it's one of those things where people just all of a sudden gather and they – what do they call that? Where you basically –
Flash mob?
Yeah, flash mob. They did a flash mob over at the Jefferson Memorial, and she was quietly dancing, and she was arrested for it. So certainly there are already some restrictions over there. Go ahead.
Radiometric dating. First of all, there's an excellent article on it at Wikipedia. Anybody can log into Wikipedia and read it and get an understanding of radiometric dating. But here's a quick little example of what radiometric dating is like. Here's a question for you. A candle is burning at a rate of 1 inch per hour, and it's now 2 inches tall. How long has the candle been burning? Basically, that is your radiometric dating question. You really don't have the information to answer the question. You know what the rate of burning candle you have, in other words, your decay rate, and you know what the height of the candle is now. That represents the ratio of the two isotopes. So with that, you have to make assumptions, and the assumptions you're making is how much you have to make an assumption as to how tall that candle was when it was new. So you have to assume that the ratio of isotopes is known to you at the time the rock was created.
Hang on, Gene. I have a question. With the isotopes, isn't there something left behind? Wouldn't a fair comparison be like if you had a stack of firewood, you burned it, and then you were trying to tell how big was the fire, was the stack of firewood from the ashes?
Well, you have the remains of the isotope, sure, but sometimes the isotope will degrade into a third isotope, so you've got to you've got maybe more than one reaction going on in there.
Account for those, sure.
If it's just a single one, sure, you can measure the amount of isotope remaining in the rock of the daughter isotope and the parent isotope, and you can go by those numbers. But the assumption you're making is that you know what the isotopes were when the rock was created. And if you read that Wikipedia article, you'll find a little gem there that I just discovered today.
So,
is that they're making the assumption that all of these rocks came from the Big Bang. So even if the Big Bang theory is out the window, as Stephen Hawking says, now Stephen Hawking was father of the Big Bang theory, and currently he's promoting just the opposite. He's now saying that the Big Bang is not scientifically sound. That's the father of the Big Bang theory. So you're making assumptions with radiometric dating.
So you're saying that radiometric dating, even though it's relatively accepted from what I understand within the scientific community, you're saying, Gene, it's just a bunch of bunk.
No, I'm not necessarily saying it's a bunch of bunk. What they're measuring is true. What they're measuring is real. They're measuring the ratio of the isotopes, which, you know, nobody's going to argue with the ratio of the isotopes. But the argument comes into play in your assumption of what the isotopes were at the beginning of the formation of that rock.
I see where you're coming from.
We don't know what they
were. So you're saying that the isotopes are not a constant, and the scientists are assuming that they are constant across materials.
Well, no, that's another assumption that we're making, is that we know the decay rate to be constant over time, and that's a fairly good assumption to make. That's an assumption that's hard to attack, but it is possible to change the decay rate in given laboratory conditions and things like that.
So, well, thank you for the 5 minutes of gripping radio, Gene. Appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. I'm not a scientist. I can't comment. I don't know.
There's so much information out there for the average person to accumulate. I think that it's bad to take what your preacher says on faith. It's also bad to take what you hear as science on faith. I think that you need to know to some extent things when you make decisions. And as largely where we came from and, you know, what started us, that doesn't affect the average person's life.
Not me. I could give a flip. I don't know if it was a Big Bang or you know, a dinosaur took a crap and the universe started there. I don't know how it started. I don't know, and I don't pretend to know, and it doesn't really have any effect on my life. It won't make a difference one iota for what comes next. That's how I feel about it.
Was it God? Was it aliens? Was it, just a freak of science?
Does it matter? I mean, it's a fascinating thing to think about and to study, and I know why. I understand why people are so obsessed with it, those that are obsessed with it. I understand why. I mean, trying to understand the universe is an amazing concept, and, I mean, one worthy of attempting to wrap one's mind around, but for the average person, it really doesn't affect our lives. It's really a non-issue. But that said, people keep wanting to call in about it, so you're welcome to. 800-259-9231. Going to an email here from Manuel over at lewrockwell.com, talking about the idea that government creates jobs. You hear it all the time from politicians when they're running for office. If you elect me, I'm going to create a million jobs and we'll have full employment, or whatever it is they're promising. They promise to just create jobs. And it's an amazing promise, and it sounds good to the voters, right? Who doesn't want jobs?
Everybody wants jobs, right?
Who doesn't want to have work?
It's good for the economy to have jobs.
Manuel says, yesterday while driving, I heard an ad on the radio promoting more state spending on roads. Besides being a bit overreaching, is my family really safe with our current roads? The idea of better managed and maintained roads makes sense, some sense, and I thought the ad had a decent point, especially as I rumbled over potholes and hoped to not end up in a major traffic jam like last week. There are potential improvements. Actually, excuse me, this isn't Manuel writing this. He sent this on from Mises.org. Anyway, there are potential improvements that can be made to Michigan's roads just by changing how things are run. Additionally, there are many ways the state could do the same things for less money. But the radio ad made the point that better roads are safer, and that's okay. But then it said better roads make it easier for businesses to operate in the state. Well, that's fine. We'll come back with what their other claim was here in a moment. It's Free Talk Live.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Every 22 seconds, a violent crime is committed. Are you concerned about your personal safety? Why wait for something bad to happen when you can take action now? Be smart. Be safe. Trust pepper spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web, including mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com Safety.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Pepperspray.com is proud to feature Saver brand Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray. For every Saver Pink Ribbon Pepper Spray sold, a donation will be made to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Enter the word pepper in the coupon box, and you'll receive 10% off your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com, or call 1-800-908-9988. Call today.
Fuel prices are up and down, biting into everyone's budget. If you're ready to start saving at the pump, Fuel Saver Technologies can help. With a small squeeze of our fuel conditioner in your gas tank, more of each gallon of fuel will combust, improving your fuel economy 10 to 20% or more. Completely safe for all engines, gas or diesel, we guarantee that your savings will exceed the cost of our product. Our fuel additive reduces the emissions and maintenance costs and reduces the friction of engine moving parts. Our 2-ounce consumer squeeze bottle costs only $8 and treats 100 gallons of gasoline or 50 gallons of diesel. If you buy a case of 16 or 32 bottles, the price drops to $6 a bottle and we'll ship it to you for free. Call us toll free at 866-768-7811 or look online at FuelSaverINC.com. Start saving on fuel today, 866-768-7811. Online, FuelSaverINC.com. Spend a little and save a lot.
IonicZone.com has the best prices on commercial shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. But did you know IonicZone.com also sells a water ozonator that's a must-have for anyone interested in good health? It's true. The IonicZone Digital Water Ozonator features an air intake and can be fed dry air through the supplied air dryer or pure oxygen via an oxygen tank. Ozone-fortified water can be used to kill bacteria, sanitize food, produce, and eliminates bacteria in the mouth by gargling, which helps prevent bad breath and even heart disease. The optional ozone bidet attachment is used for personal hygiene, which can kill the bacteria down below that can lead to irritation. It's amazing what 3 atoms of oxygen can do. Call Ionic Zone today at 1-800-549-9535. That's 1-800-549-9535. Or visit them on the web at IonicZone.com. That's IonicZone.com today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything if you dial toll-free, 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. It is Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so enjoy those on us. And those features, by the way, include the Shrine of Female Listeners, dozens of ladies who sent us their validated photo to prove they listened to the show. Head over to shrine.freetalklive.com and see what that's all about. That's shrine.freetalklive.com. Coming up in early March, the 5th through the 8th, just over 2 months from now. At this point, you'll be able to attend the Free State Project Liberty Forum. It's the first weekend in March, and it's going to be happening in Nashua, New Hampshire, at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel, same location as last year. It was a tremendous success last year, and I expect it to be even better this year with another just stellar lineup of big liberty-oriented names, speakers, people like Glenn Jacobs. You might know him as the WWE's Kane. He will be there. John Taylor Gatto, former State of New York Teacher of the Year, now turned to the good side and is advocating against the government school system. He'll be there speaking. Angela Keaton from AntiWar.com, Mark Stevens from Adventures in Legal Land, and so many more have been announced, and more still to come. They've only announced one of the keynote speakers so far, and that is Richard Heller. You might know him from the Heller versus D.C. gun decision from last summer. He himself is actually a Free State Project member. So this is an event put on by the Free State Project. The purpose is to gather hundreds of liberty-loving people all together in the same place, which is, in my opinion, the number one highlight of the event, is getting to socialize and to network with the people that are actually on the ground here in New Hampshire doing activism and doing a tremendous job at it. Of course, a lot of people that are coming to the Liberty Forum are considering moving to New Hampshire or are already signed up to the Free State Project but just haven't moved quite yet. It's a great opportunity to come up and see New Hampshire right when it's at its coldest, right in the early March, so still in the wintertime, and hang out at this hotel with so many people that are of like mind. The camaraderie is fantastic. And on top of that, you get to meet the big-name luminaries, and you also get after-hours partying and networking, panel discussions. I think we're going to have a media panel where I think, Sam, you're going to be joining us for that. We're going to be putting it on, apparently, Mark, you and I. And we'll have some other people in there, maybe the guys from Free Minds TV, Dave Ridley from the Ridley Report, and we'll talk about doing liberty-oriented media and how people can get involved in that. So that should be fun. Lots of different things will be going on. I don't believe the schedule has been announced yet. So before that happens, if you get registered, you'll probably be able to pick up the early bird discount. Head over to freestateproject.org/libertyforum, get signed up, use our discount code to save even more, save an additional 10% by using 2009FTL. That's the code, 2009FTL. Get signed up, learn more at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. So continue talking about the idea that government creates jobs. It's a claim you constantly hear politicians making in order to get some votes for themselves. And there apparently was, this is from Mises.org, where apparently over in Michigan there was a radio ad that was running and was talking about how better roads are safer and that better roads would make it easier for businesses to operate in the state. That's
right.
True.
As though Michigan needs to be spending a whole bunch of money on roads right now.
Well, I mean, if the roads are in crap condition, you don't want people bottoming out in their cars and ruining their shocks. And, you know, certainly good roads are a valuable thing to
have. Right. It's the one thing the government does that's, you know, people always point to as we need the government for this. You know, roads are the excuse for government, roads and cops. But, you know, Michigan, bankrupt. These same politicians that are proposing to fix these roads, they're the ones who screwed the whole government up in the first place.
Yeah, Detroit was looking for, what, $10 billion from the federal government for a bailout recently? That was just Detroit, not the state of Michigan. So the radio ad claimed that it makes it easier for businesses to operate if the roads are in good condition, and it said that roads are safer if they're in better condition. And that's all true. But it then committed a logical and economic error when it claimed state spending on road projects will create jobs and boost our economy. And that's only half of the story. State projects may create jobs, but the proper question is, do they create wealth? The state could easily reduce Michigan's unemployment to 0% by mandating that every unemployed citizen shovel dirt on some state project without pay. Employment alone is not a good indicator of economic success. Overall wealth is. Even if state spending can create jobs, creating jobs alone does nothing for our state's overall prosperity and standard of living. The question then becomes, do state projects, as the ad claimed, boost our economy? And the answer is no. Let's say the state spends $1 billion on road projects. It's easy to see all the laborers and machinery employed to complete the $1 billion worth of projects. And it seems that all those laborers and the manufacture of all that machinery signify new growth in the economy. But where did the $1 billion come from? It came from taxpayers. What use would that $1 billion have been put to had it not been taken by the state in the first place and spent on roads?
Right. It would have been spent by people on things that they wanted to spend it on. Now
they know what to spend it on.
Right. And if the roads were handled privately, absolutely, people would be spending money on getting from one place to another. They spend money on the gas. Why wouldn't they spend money on the roads?
$1 billion divided by the state's population of 10 million people equals $100 per citizen. What would all of those citizens have done with an extra $100? Perhaps some would spend it at the movies, some at the hardware store, some on food, some on clothing, and some may have saved or invested the money. If every citizen had that money to save or spend, then every movie theater, retailer, grocer, or investment portfolio would have received more revenue and produced more goods and hired more people in order to make and sell them. How much more? $1 billion worth. But that's not all. When left in private individuals' hands, that $1 billion will be spent and allocated on the things that are the highest priority for those people. This will send a series of signals through the market of what things to produce more of and what things to invest more in. It will produce fierce competition among the suppliers of the various items being purchased, pushing them to find better and better ways to create better and better products for less. That's how wealth is created. Competition spurs innovation, which increases productivity. When government spends money, it simply takes that money from one place, the taxpayers, and moves it to another, the state employees, the roads, etc. When private individuals spend money, that money always has the potential to create wealth as they choose the best use between competing businesses or banks. Whatever you're feeling on the need to improve state roads, don't let the myth of job creation and a boost to the economy be the rationale.
Yeah, it's just not true.
thought that was just kind of an interesting observation, something that I don't think a lot of people really get. I think most people are completely in the dark when it comes to the government claiming they're going to create jobs.
Well, they're not in the dark. They're believing what the government's telling them, and this is exactly what people get to understand one day if they're ever going to realize that government taking money from people by force and redirecting it wherever they want to is never a good idea.
Right, and it's going to fail if you run it out to its end. It's going to fail. If the government ran everything, you'd have Russia. The government's running more and more things, and they're doing a poorer and poorer job of it. I mean, there's no good reason in the world why these people who have never built a road in their life should be deciding allocating money this direction or that direction. I absolutely agree. I think that
there's a good reason. Their buddies are in the construction industry, and they're looking to help them out with a sweet, sweet government contract.
But as far as creating jobs, it does create jobs. A government job is a job, and
yes,
people see that. They get paychecks. They're nice paychecks, and you're less likely to get fired. People like that. However, the jobs aren't incentivized in the same way. So the point holds true that I had said previously is that the government doesn't know how to do anything right. Why would we let them control more and more things? All we're going to have is an inefficient, socialist republic on our hands. Sorry, America's going down the tubes.
It's true. The more money in the hands of the state, the more money they're controlling and they're allocating, the less wealth will be created and the worse our standard of living will become, because our money will not buy as much as
it'll
it used to.
It'll be inefficiently.
It will be. Yeah, anytime it's in the government's hands, you know that's going to be the case. And you're absolutely right, Mark. I mean, that's going to result in a dramatically decreased standard of living. More people are going to have to work more in order to have the same level or standard of living that they had, or they're going to have to take on, roommates in order to cut costs so they can still work at the same level. And that's going to make life a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
Just life in general becomes more difficult the more money the government is taking from you and distributing in the ways that they think is best. If it was left to you to decide for yourself, then you would make mostly the right decisions. When you made a wrong decision, you'd learn that you made the wrong decision, and hopefully you'd not make that decision.
Left the government, where's it going to stop?
It's never going to stop. It only stops when the economy completely crumbles and they can't extract wealth anymore.
Yep.
And how far are we away from that point? That's another good question. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need health insurance, you need to make this free call and see how the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company can help you. They specialize in helping the self-employed and individuals just like you who need flexible health insurance to get it. Don't take risks with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or an individual and you need quality family health insurance, call right now.
Call 800-524-1350, 800-524-1350. Call toll-free, 800-524-1350.
Market and plans vary by state. Not licensed in New York. Exclusions and limitations apply. North Richland Hills, Texas. Policy series on file. Association group plans, where available, require association membership.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them, and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty, and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com, or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
Honey, have you seen the remote?
Sweetie, have you seen my car keys?
I can't find my wallet.
Sound familiar? Why not save time looking for lost things and lose the stress instead? Introducing our patented Find One, Find All Key Finders, or FOFA XD for short. Once a FOFA key finder is attached to each of those easy-to-lose things, it can find and be found by all the rest. Use your wallet to find your keys to find the remote control, or any of them to find an uncharged or muted cell phone. The possibilities are endless. FOFA goes through walls, cushions, and laundry baskets up to 30 feet and projects a clear 90-plus decibel beep.
Got the remote!
Oh, my keys.
There's my wallet.
Order your FOFA today with batteries included along with a 30-day money-back guarantee by calling Find One, Find All at 866-245-8670. That's 866-245-8670. Or buy online at findonefindall.com. That's findonefindall.com.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Dial toll free to 1-800-259-9231. Only moments remain, but just enough time for your call. That number brought to you by SACL, CAI, 800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are free, so enjoy those on us. If you like this show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can shop with us at amazon.freetalklive.com. Enter Amazon through that link, and Free Talk Live will get a percentage of your purchase. You can buy in over 41 categories. You can even purchase used items, and Free Talk Live will still get a cut if you enter through amazon.freetalklive.com. Alternatively, if you're looking for computer parts and things related to computers, you should go to newegg.freetalklive.com. We'll also get a cut there. That's a hugely popular computer buying website. It's where I get all my computer parts from, newegg.freetalklive.com. So here we are in the remaining moments of the show. I've got another email here that we're going to get to from Mike. He says, guys, lately I've been finding it harder and harder to find excuses to consider myself a minarchist. Now, of course, a minarchist, for those who aren't aware, is someone who believes in a very small government. And at one time, I probably would have been accurately described as a minarchist myself. And Mike is having a difficult time holding on to that particular title. He says, my views are falling closer to Ian's views, but I like Mark's practical stance of one step at a time. If we achieve a government that only provides for the roads, cops that go after true criminals, and maybe fire services, at that point it will seem almost obvious that we don't need any government at all, and we can do away with those services as well. And I don't like it when he says do away. I think marketizing is a more appropriate term. I don't object to protection. I don't object to fire services. And I certainly don't object to having roads. What I do object to is being coerced into paying for it. So simply transitioning from a coercive system to a system of voluntary interaction and consent is really the ideal situation for me. Not doing away with the services, but improving them by transitioning to consensual funding.
Likely that's what he meant, but, you know.
Well, you got to be careful with the words that you choose.
Yeah.
So he says, I've one last little hang-up in my head regarding total anarchy or free marketeerism, and this isn't an argument against it. It's more of a problem that I see with it that I hope can be addressed. And the problem I have is with arbitration. Let's say you and I have some serious disagreement, not related to any actual violence. Maybe I defraud you out of some money. Now, you probably want to take me to arbitration, but I tell you, I don't believe in arbitration. I don't recognize the authority of any arbiter to tell me how to run my life. i.e. stop tricking people out of their money. So I guess if I won't...
I don't recognize anybody who would tell me to stop doing that either.
I guess if I won't go into arbitration, the next step would be social ostracism. But how is the public at large supposed to ostracize me if they don't know about what I've done wrong? Sure, word of mouth will spread and ruin my business, but couldn't I just pick up and move to a new town? Then I'll be out of your hair, but what about the other people? Arbitration and ostracism would work in a small community, like with the Free State Project, but what about nationally? What about the idea that somebody who is a rip-off artist could just move out of town and then go rip some people off halfway across the country?
Well, hold on. If I'm a renter and I stop paying my rent and I move to another town, or I leave my credit, I run up a bunch of money on credit cards, and then I move to another town, am I going to get away with that? No, because there's credit reporting agencies that are keeping track of this, that are collecting all of this information from these disparate businesses around the country, assembling it and providing that as a service to consumers who want to know, just who am I dealing with here?
And this has never been so much more possible than it is today. The idea of implementing some sort of a reputation rating system. A very similar concept to the idea of a credit report, but I think more detailed because it has to do with everything. It has to do with your ability to keep your word, your honor. And essentially, the idea would be if you rip somebody off and you don't want to go to arbitration, then that's going to result in a tremendous black mark on your record. Hey, this guy is... He obviously has something to hide. He's not going to defend himself here. He's not interested in going to arbitration. He's got something to hide so bad that he's not even willing to hire his own arbitration company. Because if there's a conflict between two people and one person is attempting to bring the other guy to arbitration and the third party says, well, I don't trust your arbitrator, well, they can just hire their own arbitrator and the two arbitrators can agree on a third and final arbitrator to oversee the entire situation. So that's a satisfactory way to get two opposing sides to resolve a situation. But if one side doesn't even want to participate at all, then that's probably one of the biggest black marks you could possibly get into a reputation rating. And if he wants to go and move to a new area, he's not going to be able to use his old identification. Because if he uses his old identification, there is a black mark tied to that on the reputation rating services, and immediately people are going to know not to deal with him. So he'd have to move into a new area and try to start over from scratch. Now, if you're starting over from scratch, that's probably not as bad as having a bad reputation, but at the same time, people are going to wonder why you don't have a reputation rating. Why are you coming into this area with no background that we can check on? And so they're going to be wary of you. They're going to know there's a chance you might be a scammer. Artist, and they're going to be very cautious with any contracts or agreements they get into. They may ask for a significant amount of money up front on renting a house or something like that, or who knows what other careful steps they might take to ensure that you're not going to be a scammer. So if you're walking into a community for the first time and you're saying, hey, I need a job, I need a place to stay, can you help me out? People might be willing to help, but they're going to make sure that they cover their butts when they're dealing with somebody that has absolutely no track record. They have no history to their name.
Plus, because you don't have a one-size government-mandated system where, you know, everyone has the state driver's license or state ID card, the loopholes are going to vary between the different private providers, but they're going to be incented to close those loopholes and make their ID, their system of verifying people and verifying their identity, giving you a reliable information about the person you're dealing with. They're going to be incented to make that as accurate as possible, and the government doesn't care.
Right, and, you know, I mean, it's very likely, it's quite possible that some some companies would get very intrusive on the ways that they would do their, deciding who's who and that kind of thing, and that's something that people need to weigh for themselves if they're going for this no government thing. But likely, they'll take DNA samples, or
who knows,
fingerprints, retina scans.
Probably not
retina scans; they're not good for you. Some companies will say that, like, I can prove who I am. This company says they know who I am because I've given them a blood sample.
Right.
So there'll be all kinds of systems. Am I saying that I think that those are good. I don't know. I mean, I think that's, you know, I don't know what company I would choose.
I have no problem with the idea of being identified. And, in fact, I like the idea that private companies would be competing to provide the best ID in the marketplace. We have the most secure identification. There are all kinds of little micro printing and holograms and, you know, little factors that we've incorporated into our ID card. And we've checked your background and we know you were born where you say you were born and whatever. They could implement all kinds of levels of security in there. And as you're saying, they're going to compete with one another. So constant innovation will be a factor instead of, you know, every 25 years the government decides to change its driver's license, which is always immediately ripped off by the black market, no problem. So there could be very easily some anti-counterfeiting measures put into the free market identification. And anybody that wanted to start up and get a brand new ID is going to be in that questioning category. Like, who is this guy? Why does he not have any history? I mean, we're going to have to be very cautious with this person. So I don't think it would be as easy to just waltz into a town and set up for yourself if we're in a system where identification is important, and it will still be important because businesses want to know who they're dealing with in a lot of cases. And you can't just waltz in and take advantage of people because they're going to want to check on you.
In the same way that you don't start with a perfect credit score and it drops from there. No.
When, you have to build it up.
Yeah, when you're 18, if you've never had a bank account, if you've never had a credit card with a balance on it, all of these things, you don't have credit, so people are very cautious about the credit that they extend to you, and rightly so. The same would be true if we had a voluntary ID with based around all these metrics about you and all of these different touch points into your life. You know, maybe it could log into your eBay account and get your feedback from the transactions that you do on eBay as just one example. But, there could be hundreds of different ways that this voluntary ID system would draw in information and to help verify who you are and give people a valid picture of who they're dealing with.
And it's never been more possible than it is today.
Absolutely.
I mean, with the information society we're living in, with the immediate access that we have to the internet and the tremendous resources there, this is so much more possible. But even back in the 1970s, when the Tannehills wrote the book The Market for Liberty, which you can actually get for free over at book.freetalklive.com, you can listen to an audiobook version for free, or you can download a PDF and read that. But even they had envisioned this reputations rating system, and they had envisioned back with 1970s technology how it could be done. So they saw it as a possibility back then, and if it was a possibility in the 1970s, it's even more so a possibility today. And I think that hopefully that has addressed his question. He says, I don't.
As far as arbitration goes and people defrauding the system, that happens today. We're not talking about utopia.
Yeah.
You're talking about something that works better. And
that's the idea.
I think it might. I don't know.
And allowing the marketplace to solve whatever problems might come up. If there is a problem, then entrepreneurs in search of a profit will figure out a way to overcome that. Anyway, it's been Ian here with you.
And Sam.
And Mark.
And we'll be back tomorrow night. Join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low mintage collector coin with a total series mintage under $600,000 has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.